Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guest is old friend Mike Patterson of Sasquatch, Ontario. Mike will give us an update on what's been going on with the Neff's tribe and with his research. He's out in Duane's cabin out in the rural forest of Ontario. So, without any further ado, Mike, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Tell me, what's been going on with you? What's been going on in the world of Neff?
We're Duane and I, we're still working together, making our visits. We're in our 14th winter now, and nothing has changed as far as, any lag in activity or anything. They've been with us literally on every visit since day one. And it's interesting to see younger family members get more involved as they grow, like, for instance, young guy Ninyanin is his name. I don't know his age. I estimate he's probably maybe 15 years old, maybe 14 to 16, I would say, in that range, right? He was witnessed way back. I can't remember what year, but he was seen in his full flesh form on the couch out of the corner of Duane's eye, basically. He's sitting on the computer, and he had a big black dog at the time, and he thought it was his dog. And he turned his head, and he saw this little young little fellow who he said he had these piercing green eyes. His eyes really stuck out. And his feet didn't touch the floor at that time, right? So now his foot size was just actually witnessed great footprint because the snow was really good. I actually cast it. The cast didn't come out great, but it was just this past weekend. So I would estimate probably with his foot size, he's got to be in the 7 foot range at this point. So he's grown up quite a bit, and he's a prankster. The little more rambunctious than Neff was, I think. But Neff's there. He's let me hear his voice basically every visit this winter so far, right? Which I've recorded, and some of the recordings, a bit windy out. So, but his voice is definitely there, and so the activity continues. We get these experiences and the written communication, and so it's just a barrel of monkeys.
You let me see some of the written communication. That was interesting. Now, we know that from the animal kingdom, when someone helps be it a fox, or we've heard of these stories and we've seen some of the videos. To be sure, some of it could be AI generated, but some of them seem to be real to me, where they help some kind of wild animal, and then, that wild animal recovers, is released back into the wild, and then one fine spring day, it comes back with kits, or it comes back with its young. And so it seems to me, obviously, Neff wasn't injured. You didn't help him in that regard, but it's clear that Neff wanted to bring the youngins around just to let them know who this cool human guy is. Now, I'm not too sure about the familial social custom habits of the Squatch, particularly your tribe you're dealing with. Are they similar to like wolves? Do they have a mate for life? Like, who's Neff's mate who he begat the young one you just described with?
They're very tight-lipped. They are a very few words, for good reason. I would assume, considering their understanding of consciousness is so evolved, it's, they know what's going on in this world, right? A hell of a lot more than we do. And from my understanding, this is Neff's family, extended family. I think mother, father, brothers, sisters, and likely mate, children. We don't know how many are in this family, right? I think Ninyanen is, I think he's a younger brother of the family, of Ness. I don't think it's his child. I think it's just like a younger family member, right? Because when we started this, I got his age finally at the age of 25, so I dated the start of this back to Neff being 17, basically, give or take however many months. But so he was 17 years old, and I think he's probably about 30 now. So if he's 17, yeah, I'm confident that Ninyanen would be like a younger brother, right? They don't, like, I've asked Neff's family, about Neff having a wife or, a mate and children, that, and I found out it was disrespectful to ask that, right? I asked them that, if it was disrespectful, and
Like
they said yes.
asking a Western woman her age, if kind of thing.
Yeah, basically, so, but we've still been given 10 names, but we know there's been other family members since that have come into the picture. But I don't really have a lot of detail on that. Like I said, there are very few words. The activity, though, the Dwayne and I have always had this motto: always something new, always something new. And it's interesting that this happens so often. Like, I'll reference something that just happened recently, which was it was a first. We never experienced this before. So Dwayne and I are sitting at the kitchen table, as we always do, having a couple beers and having our discussions, and Dwayne smokes, so the window's open. And at one point last visit, we're just sitting there at the table. There's lots of snow outside. There's fresh snow. Fresh layer of snow on the ground, which was nice, good for prints and that, right? And at one point, we hear clear footsteps walking back and forth right outside the window, and then it happened again and again, about a half a dozen times. I didn't even count, right? But at one point, we went and looked, stuck our head out the door. There's zero footprints. And it's undeniable that the walking back and forth, and it was just something they do to show their presence. Hey, we're here. We're letting you hear us crunch back and forth through the snow, and then there's that. Well, where's the footprints? There are none. And it's not surprising to me, because I've learned they choose to leave their footprints. So at one point we were standing outside, and we go look for prints out front of the cottage on the roadway. There's nothing. And then suddenly there's a print. Oh, there's another print just made, right? I even got hit in the back with a bigger than softball size chunk of ice. It was like a rounded chunk of ice. Ninyanen, he hit me, but he didn't hit me hard. There's no malevolence behind it, basically. I'm just, he's watching us while I'm stirring up this casting material, right? He's a funny guy. And then at one point, I'm using this rubber spatula to mix up the water and the casting material, and I break the end of the handle while I'm doing this, and I said something about, well, I need a new spatula. Several seconds later, I have this audio clip. You hear Ninyanen's voice clear, and he just says, "Spatula." It's just funny, right? Just funny, man. And it's like, well, that ain't us, that's not our voice, right? So as I've stated for many years now, they are interdimensional. They are people. They speak English if they want to. It's not their first language, but they are definitely human types, and when they're young like that, I've said to people over the years, if you talk to one of their children on the phone, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them and us.
You pronounce the name again, Nin Yanin. How do you go?
Ninyanin, yes,
Ninyanin.
N-I-N-A, N-I-N-Y-A-N-I-N, Ninyanin.
Helps it phonetically, Ninyanin. And because when he first presented himself to Dwayne, he was essentially levitating, right? He was just showing himself, but he wasn't on terra firma. He was floating.
No, he was sitting on the couch.
Oh, he was sitting on the couch. You mean Ninyanin was?
Yeah, his feet didn't touch the floor back then.
Oh, I get it now, because he was, I guess he was too small. So he was just sitting
Yeah,
there,
he's just
legs dangling.
a little guy, maybe the size of a 4-year-old.
What was Dwayne's reaction?
Well, he disappeared as soon as he saw him. We'd been doing this for years. I can't remember exactly when that happened, but we were used to the activity by that point, right? But at this point, his footprints, it's larger than mine. I'm just under 6 feet, and like I said, so comparing his print, I filmed it, on the weekend. I got some really good clear footage of it. Pulled my boot off. Left my sock on, but pulled my boot off, stuck it in the snow beside his to show the size difference. And the temperature was nice too, so you could actually see the skin folds in the middle of his foot.
That was a milestone event, because Ninyanin is showing himself to you for the first time, and Dwayne and you made the inference, okay, he must be part of the same family then. So, and then to watch the progress of him growing, and he seemed to go through quite a growth spurt, right? Not surprising. And then now he's in the 7 foot range.
He's been involved in the activity for years now, several years. It's like it seems to be more the males, not discounting that the females don't interact as well because they do, but it's mainly seems to be the younger males of the family. Neff first, now Ninyanin. Like, those are the main two characters that we're interacting with. Although sometimes, the older adults will show a print, 21-inch footprint or 17, 18-inch footprints. The once in a while that happens, right? And the younger ones too. The younger, the females, the and this stuff. At this point, and it has been for quite some time, actually, this stuff is happening in real time. We go out to, we're indoors doing our thing. They're indoors with us. We come outside to look for prints. There's none. And then suddenly, here we go. There's prints showing up, and another one, and another one. We're getting hit with snowballs, and ice or whatever. Ice balls, or this is a common occurrence, really. I've been pinged off numerous times now, with snow and that, and it's, like I said, is never malevolent. It's all just fun and games. So.
They got quite a sense of humor, because we know with other Squatch type tribes, if they don't like someone in their territory, they'll chuck boulders at them, or chuck logs at them and what have you. But you've got this rapport going with Neff, and his tribe. Human language is so limiting, language, words, what have you. So, the connotation may be different, but from your perspective, or does it even really matter? Does it seem to you that Neff's tribe in particular, would you call it patriarchal? Would you call it matriarchal? Or does that terminology not even fit?
I guess I don't understand the dynamics of the family and how they operate, really. Like I said, they are tight-lipped. I assume there's a that the big guy of the family is the boss man. But I don't know. I'm just assuming things, right? It makes sense to me that that he would be the boss man. And I don't know underneath that if what rules, if any, that they have for interacting with humans. You know, they haven't conveyed any of that knowledge to us. You know, things just happen as they do, right? So, you know, I see people say, oh, there's this many in a family, there's that many in a family, you know, that they're interacting with. And I'm like, how do you know? You know, have they told you? You know, there could be a dozen others that you have no knowledge of that are just quiet. They're not interacting with you, or, you know, so it's very difficult to, you know, to come to, you know, any conclusions like that. Mainly just assumptions, really.
I like that approach because, at some point, one doesn't need to, but, we can make intuitive, educated guesses. But to come right out and say, well, there's X number of them, and, that's like swinging in the dark, really, because there's no way to know. We get a lot of this, not just in the cryptid field, but in ufology, where people make these huge inferences just on a really small data point, right? So, I like your approach. So, from what I understand, is Neff the alpha, for lack of a better term, or is he someone's younger brother in that tribe, do you think?
Again, it's difficult to say because there are older family members. I think it's, you know, like there's a connection. I was invited in to investigate back in 2012, right? You know, from my understanding, they've been around Dwayne his whole life. So there's that connection there. So I think I was brought in to help develop that connection. And, you know, it's just continued since, right? You know, we've both grown together with this. And Neff has been basically the main character that interacts with Dwayne. Even though, like I said, there's others that do that as well, right? Well, it interacts with both of us, but you know, I think that connection he has, you know, I was brought in to develop that, and just Neff has just been the main character, you know, for this evolvement of interactions and understanding, you know, who they are and what they're about. And but at this point, now there's Nin Yen, and like I said, that's been a while, right? But there's others that have interacted. Like I remember one time, you know, we're getting these questions answered, and I asked who's answering these questions? Can I have your name? Basically, I can't remember my exact terminology there, but she wrote her name. It was something like Burjet, or you know, I can't remember the exact spelling, but just a name I'd never heard anyways, but it was a female name, right? So that had nothing, you know, that wasn't Neff. Or so much of the time I don't have a clue who's doing the writing. I do have some questions that I something really interesting happened more recently that was, you know, I gift, right, every visit, and I gift indoors now, have been for some time. No gifting is done outside anymore. It's all end of the kitchen counter. That's how evolved this is. So I'm standing in the kitchen at one point, you know, later in the night, and I hadn't received a marble yet. So I'm standing there and I go, you know, hey, you guys, can I have a gift in exchange, you know, for the gifts I left you? As soon as my sentence finished, I mean, the instant, this thing, you know, you see that? This thing bounced off the floor. It's got a little flat spot on it. It's a, what I found out, Like it, I saw it hit the floor and then roll across the floor, right? And then I'm involved in a, you know, I'm in a like rock hounding group on Facebook, right? You know, I like rocks. And I see something similar posted, you know, and then people are making comments and somebody's mentioned something about it. Maybe it's an indigenous marble made of clay or something, right? And that got my wheels turning. And my thought after that, I'm going to put this in my next video too, because I don't, you know, this is basically brand new. So when I took that home, that this piece here, I took it home, and then I looked closer at it, and there's actually, I don't know, probably hard to see on camera, but there is parallel lines pressed into it, which match similar markings that I've gotten on handprints on my vehicle from them. So all of a sudden I'm thinking, holy crap, I might have a handmade marble, you know, made by a Sasquatch. And so I took that marble back last visit, and I asked these questions. Now they like to mess with us, right? So I got to try and get this confirmed some, you know, through other questions next visit, hopefully. But I wrote, like I got this page here. It's hard with that thing, but I'll just read this. So, is that a marble made by you or your people? And right at the end of that, I remember Dwayne got up and he goes to take a look and see if they'd answered yet. And he says, "Peoply, what do you mean, peoply?" Right away, I was like, "Peoply, I didn't write, you know, I wrote people." I jumped up and I saw that they put this little Y right at the end of people. So they said, "Yes, is that a marble made by you or your people?" "Yes." "Did your people invent marbles and playing games with them?" They put another Y right at the end of them. So, and then they put the three dots in a triangle afterwards. So I'm still trying to figure that out. So, did your people invent marbles and playing games with them? Yes. You know, because as soon as, you know, I got some questions rise up about this handmade marble thing, I'm thinking, holy shit, maybe they're the original creators of marbles. And it makes sense. Why wouldn't they make marbles and play with them, you know, handmade, right? And that thing, it's solid like a rock, but you can tell it's handmade. It's got the weight of a rock too. And then I said, I want to know how old that thing is. So this is where I'm thinking, okay, am I being messed with here? Do you know how old that marble is in human years? And they wrote a number that looks like 700, you know, so that puts it back to the 1300s, basically, right? So I'm
That would
hoping
make it
to
almost like
get
a family heirloom then, with a perhaps a
an
tribal
ancient
crest on it.
artifact,
Yeah, an ancient artifact.
basically. So, you know, I'm hoping I can get some answers to confirm that, or they'll write, hopefully they'll, you know, or not write, ha ha, like, you know, now we're messing with you, Mike. But I don't know yet. I'm just taking what they've told me, basically, right? And that I wrote this too, but I wrote this after the fact, but they didn't answer this. I said, "Was that marble in your family from the first day it was made? Or where does it come from?" They didn't give me anything on that. But yeah, it's pretty interesting that it, you know, there's the possibility that, you know, I may have just learned the origins of marbles. Maybe this is a reason why marbles are so popular with them. It just, you know, now it's like, hey, we don't have to have handmade ones. You know, we got these human-made ones. They're perfect, right? Perfectly round. And so I don't know. Right now it's speculation and I'm just going by what I was told, but it's pretty interesting. And you know, and those parallel lines, when I saw that, I was like, holy crap, those match lines that I've seen in their handprints, right? Which is why I, you know, this whole thing suddenly came up.
many parallel lines are there?
Oh, it's hard to see. Where are we here? I have a magnifying glass here. Oh, three. Oh, it looks maybe about at least a dozen or so. I don't know. Here, I'll hold this up. I don't know if you can see them. No, it's. No, it's hard to. Yeah, you can't really see them. It's like it's clear if I put under the magnifying glass. Like I can see it with the naked eye too, but easily with the magnifying glass. So.
Had to be put there for a reason. I'm wondering if there's like a esoteric meaning behind it. Like they ascribe some kind of
You mean the
meaning.
lines?
Yes.
I think it's just from them, pressing it
Wow.
and that's dermal ridge lines from their hand.
Well, from their hands.
Yeah, from their
Oh,
hand or
okay.
their finger.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah, that's
hand or finger.
interesting. That would
Yeah.
almost make it somewhat akin to a fingerprint or something, or some kind of biometric in a way.
Yeah. A piece of it anyways.
Yeah. And the notion that they may have been the ones to bring marbles into the world, and the youngins today will never understand because all of them come equipped, it seems, with digital devices. But I used to play marbles. You the winner, you make off with all the marbles. You play with toy
Yeah, me
soldiers,
too.
things that kids wouldn't understand today. But that was such an embedded part of the culture for young people back in the old days. Marbles were. Just about everyone I knew, my neighbor had a marble, right? Or marbles.
Yeah, me too. I always had an interest in them and I get them every visit. If I don't have, get one by a certain time, I'm asking for them and I'm basically joking with them. It's like, oh, you guys finally ran out, right? I don't know where they get them, but they never run out. Not yet.
Of us just collect coasters at bars and pubs. You're lucky you get marbles from this family. Just shifting gears a little bit, what we've seen is, well, your description of your interactions, yours and Dwayne's, with Neff's tribe, Neff's family. And to me, I don't know everyone in the field. I'm fortunate to know you, but clearly, you and Dwayne and others have taken the research to another level. The Apers, as you call them, they're still grimly hanging on. They're still trying to convince everyone that these are just unknown apes running around the wilds of North America and all over the world, really. Your thoughts about that, the dichotomy of it, because it seems to me like oil and water separating. Those guys, the apers are going to be left by in the dust because, there is no peer review process anymore. They can harass people, and you've gone through some of that. They can troll people, you've gone through some of that. But really, the truth will win out in the end because we're seeing a clear demarcation between where the research should be and the direction it continues to go, and these apers and people like that that just would still have us believe that they're just these unknown primates running around.
I don't even pay attention to them anymore. It's so far outside my perspective at this point because I know Sasquatch interdimensional. I wage my life on that fact. They're indoors with us. There are no walls. I've had activity in the car. I've captured a vocalization on my not trail cam, my dash cam in my vehicle inside the car. Dwayne and I are riding the back road during a visit, just some logger road, taking a little cruise, and suddenly, I get a vocalization from the back and we both hear it. And I said, "Did you just make this sound?" And he's, "No, I thought it was you." I said, "No, we get company." The physical contact, it's a no-brainer. Like, yeah, this situation I'm involved in is definitely at another level of most of what's out there, right? Science definitely is taking the very long road to any resolution of understanding this, and it's basically been denied. I'm writing, James, so I'll be publishing this year. It won't be that long. So, but I just actually finished a chapter on the science involved. I was just finishing that up before we got on here. And we've lost three major science minds in this in recent years, right? Dmitry Baynov, John Bindernagel, and Jeff Meldrum. The Dmitry and John were both, they didn't add the aspect of Sasquatch abilities. They basically, kept that at bay, right? Understandably. John, basically one of the most well-respected pioneers of this subject, and he couldn't bring in anything ethereal that would, because that would just damage his credibility. And same with Dmitry, but they both kept an open mind. They both supported me, and they both kept an open mind, and they didn't sweep me under the rug when I started talking about Sasquatch abilities. They just both asked me to, hey, can you back off on that talk until we have them discovered? And I couldn't do that, right? So, but then there was Jeff Meldrum, and he was in just 100% denial. Nope, he did not, he. The only interaction I had with him was through a group email, and he bit one time when I put some photos out and indoor vocalization that I captured from Neff, and it was clear too, right? And I just got ridicule and a wrong conclusion on the prints, right? And was that done on purpose to just deny me? I don't know, but he was not open to anything whatsoever outside of a strictly flesh and blood being. So I forget my point, but the we've lost all those scientists now, right? And the whole ape thing. I don't know what percentage we're at now as far as the division in this subject goes. These some people I know have spent literally decades, most of their lives, hanging on to that ape theory, and they just won't let it go. And it's like, it's sad. If you have an interest in the subject, we're dealing with something completely unknown. There's all kinds of high strangeness surrounding it. Native culture has always been open about their abilities. They walk between two worlds, it's and the ape mentality will just, oh well, that's just all folklore, but it's not. And to me, yeah, it's a waste of time. People that are first getting involved in this subject, I try to help as much as I can and steer them down a quicker road of success, I guess, if you want to call it that, in learning and possibly making contact. But still, many will just know they'll choose that long road of banging on trees, putting up trail cams, and looking for an ape that hides real well.
We see a similar dynamic with the UFO field. We've seen it for quite some time where they want to keep the subject at arm's length, lights in the sky. But now they've insinuated this concept of the ubiquitous drones into the mix. So now it's got a built-in question mark. Is that a UFO, a UAP? Is it a drone? They've just muddied the waters, basically, and clouded the issue. I can see where they're going with that. So, yeah, I just want to get your take on that, and thank you for that, because and the way that you're paying it forward is just making it so these people don't have to like run around chasing their tails if they're getting into this, especially if they're already having some of the metaphysical experiences too. because that has to be put into the equation. This notion of having all of this evidence of this, the metaphysical prowess of the Sasquatch, and then just systematically ignoring it, that to me is like self-delusion. That's to me like willful ignorance, right? And so that there's something or someone, whether it's just internal bias, whatever the case may be, that's keeping them at that level. But I'm glad what you've done is essentially you've bypassed an essentially enemy strong point. Okay, you guys could wallow in the weeds here, but we're going around to more fruitful endeavors. And the point you made with you and Dwayne in the vehicle when the vocalization happened, did you feel a presence at that time, at that split second moment when the vocalization occurred?
Some people have asked me, do you feel their presence when they're standing around you or whatever it is? And I have, but for the most part, I don't. There has been moments where I feel suddenly this intense electric sort of energy, and it's like, okay, somebody's here. But most of the time, nope.
That one fleeting experience I had with them in my bedroom when I told you the story before, I'm not going to get into it, but they kept goading me to try to read this book about this imprisoned Lakota Native American guy. And I felt their presence, but I felt that they'd almost, and this is maybe just me trying to make an inference here, but I almost had the feeling that even though they were invisible and out of my visual spectrum or psychic third eye range, they almost, if I didn't know any better, had shrunk themselves so as to fit, so to speak. I know that really that doesn't make sense in an interdimensional sense, but I almost got the impression that they kind of hunkered down a little bit in order to fit into the room, because it didn't have a high ceiling. But I felt this enormous presence, paradoxically, because I felt there was more than one there, I felt there was two. But almost as if they kind of shrunk themselves in a way to accommodate their presence, even though they don't have to, But I just thought I'd throw that out. But it was just the feeling I got that, they can not only do all this metaphysical physical stuff, projecting their voices, what have you, but their ability to go into places and out of places and make footprints appear or not appear, they truly have a mastery, and I don't need to tell you this, of metaphysics.
I'll just add a little piece to that to support that. There's been a couple times or maybe a few times now, we're sitting at the kitchen table and I've had my foot grabbed underneath the table. It's like, okay, how you guys do that, How the hell did you do that? Or they're in my vehicle, they're in my car, and I remember another time, I'm running I got a sunroof, right? So I'm running audio mics through my sunroof. So I jump in my vehicle to do a battery change or just check the status on the battery, make sure it's still recording, and suddenly a marble hits the window, and then I realize it's like, oh, that was inside, because there's the marble now on the floor beside me, on the passenger side. I reach down and I grab it, and then I sit up. And then the center console, there's this little change thing in my old vehicle there, and suddenly I see a marble, boom, hits that and just lands right in it, rolls around until it stops, right? It's like, you guys are, you're in the car. It's like they just walk through anything.
Was the car moving at the time?
No, parked.
And I know of cases where this woman I know, Diane Johnson, I don't even know if she's still alive, but she was having a lot of problems with reptilians in the military in the China Lake region of California. And she said this medium-sized reptilian, first it announced its presence by the sulfurous smell, and then she looks over, through the rear view, turns around, there's a reptilian sitting in the back seat of her car, right? And point being is that they're not limited to the 3D. Like when you mentioned that your foot was grabbed, someone of a more 3D orientation, let's say, would perhaps imagine an invisible Sasquatch is, cheeky Sasquatch laying on its side, grabbing your ankle. But from a metaphysical three, non-3D perspective, it could be reaching up through the floorboards, grabbing your ankle. It's just the way that we're oriented. We try it at times to fit things into our schema, into our scheme of things. How would we do something like that? Well, they're not limited. They don't have the limitations we do of walls, of floors, of cramped spaces like automobiles. It just shows their mastery of wherever there are at any one time, they can make their presence felt remotely even. It's just a fascinating line of study.
That was another thing I had said to Meldrum way back. Actually, I'd mentioned about them being masters of energy, and he didn't like that either. I just thought that was completely ridiculous. But hey, I think I'm onto something here. So
Even at the
it's.
surface level, Japanese researchers have talked about the ability to, I mean, they've proven to their satisfaction that quantum physics works and that they can actually teleport like particles. So, what is the manifestation or the appearance of that big marble you just showed me, but some form of teleportation, right? One moment it's not there, and the mo next moment it is. And you've determined that it was like handcrafted, essentially. So they're giving you a family heirloom, but they're making it a manifest out of nowhere. So, and also the light phenomena associated with the Sasquatch too. Their ability to, my limited understanding compared to yours and others is, they seem to be able to project their consciousness or some aspect of themselves with the light phenomena. Wherever they wanted to go, in the forest or whatever the case may be. And what are your thoughts about that as far as their association with light phenomena, orbs, and what have you?
We've definitely had some orb experiences, right? Both indoors and out. The red plasma orb incident. I wish I could remember what year and what month that was, because I got so much raw data with audio files, right? I want to go through that again, try and find that piece because we might even have some missing time there. But yeah, that one night we were given that it looked otherworldly, this thing, right? Really bright red nucleus, looked maybe softball size, and it was pulsating slowly to maybe it looked 4 feet in diameter back down, just kind of slowly getting bigger and smaller and then doing this dance thing. And but there's been other orb activity and light phenomena. I remember, these three dots in a triangle, they keep showing up in their messages. But one time, this actually it's happened twice. We're sitting in the living room, Dwayne's sitting in his chair. Suddenly, these three dots of light show up on his arm. It's like, where's that coming from? There's nothing. There's no source that we can see where it's coming from, right? Just like I said, it's happened twice. It's them. We know it's them, but there's no light source. Or there's a time we were sitting outside, and I remember it was it was dark out. It was overcast. There was a very, very slight snowfall at the time, and there was no other neighbors around, and we're sitting in chairs outside or sitting on the wall, or we were sitting outside, and they knew we were looking at the same area simultaneously because I think they wanted both of us to see this, right? And suddenly, it's like somebody flipped on a light switch on the forest floor, and there's this triangular, elongated thing of light, the color of moonlight. No sharp edges, soft edges on it. I think it was maybe, I wrote it down right away, 20 to 30 feet long, maybe 10 feet on the bottom end. It came on like a light switch, was on for about 5 seconds, and then shut off like a light switch. And, which was, I remember, Dwayne and I, did you see that? Yeah, I saw that. Because it's dark. We're not looking at each other, right? So,
Were you in the
but
cabin when that happened?
no, we're outside.
Oh, so
It shone on the forest floor, basically. It was an experience given to us, right?
that's quite a large triangle, 20 somewhat feet, per side. And it somewhat illuminated the forest floor. Was the triangle essentially embedded under the floor, or was it above it?
Yeah, it looked like it was on the forest floor. Like the way it came on and off too, it was just strange, right? Oh, I just want to mention something else too. I digress, because when you mentioned about the sulfur smell, Sasquatch can do that too, right? I've had that experience multiple times, and it's Nin Yan and showing us his abilities basically with smells. So I've learned about the smells, with different smells and how they direct them, and good smells, pleasant smells, unpleasant, and turning them off and on like a light switch, directing them to an individual. This is something that's been common in more recent times as well, right? So I just wanted to throw that in there.
I wonder if the sulfur smell, there, like you just mentioned, there perhaps is some degree of intentionality, if that's the word behind it. Well, I'm going to manifest with the sulfur smell this time, but I also wonder at times if it's kind of a byproduct of what they do. It's apples and oranges. I'm not comparing Sasquatch with reptilians or other beings, but sometimes. Maybe when these other types of beings manifest, and that sulfur smell precedes them, and it is the sulfur smell is present the duration of the encounter. I just wonder if that's like wherever they're from, a byproduct energetically or whatever is the sulfur smell. And also another point, question I'd like to ask, and you just touched on it a moment ago, is a lot of the other Sasquatch encounters that people have described. Especially in the old days, I don't really hear this much nowadays, but in the old days, people talked about this horrific smell associated with the presence of some of the Sasquatch. That's why some of the names in certain places, the skunk ape, etc. What's your perspective about that? Is that like a natural odor, or is that just something that they can turn on and turn off, similar to, say, like a skunk? With the active glands that, okay, I'm going to stink you out of this area because you don't belong here, kind of thing. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, from my experience, they are creating this and turning it off, turning it on to maybe deter somebody, make somebody leave an area. And they have that ability to create different smells and even recreate smells. Like the one time that it's legal here, right? So Dwayne had bought a piece of black hash from a dispensary and comes in a glass container with a lid, sealed. There's no smell coming out of that whatsoever, nothing. And I remember I opened it and I took a whiff of it, oh, it smells nice. And he put it away. And then it was, later on we eat dinner and sometimes chill out for a while, maybe catch a little nap afterwards, because we're up all night. Not always, but sometimes. I mean, we don't always take a little nap or whatever, but so that time when I woke up from a nap on the couch, Dwayne still crashed out and he hadn't touched it, and I wake up and it's all I smell in my face. It's just this waft of that same black hash smell, and I know it's them. It's like you guys created that smell. So the recreation of different smells and sounds too. So it's not just smells, it's sounds. And again, they turn it on and off like a light switch. Suddenly it's there and then suddenly it's gone. So yeah, they have this ability to turn this stuff on and off with different smells. Obviously, I have no understanding of how they do that, but this is what I've concluded from having multiple experiences over time. And I don't base my conclusions on one incident, right? Some things take years for me to figure out that to be solid in my, okay, I know they put that thought in my mind and made this marble appear at the exact same time. And they did the same thing, a dozen years ago that I thought was me with this thought. But no, now I understand how they reacted so instantaneous because it was them that put that thought there and manifested the marble at the same time, right? It's, it takes time to figure certain things out, right?
Some beings seem to have the ability to project or manifest certain scents and odors. A friend of mine, I've since learned she's passed away, Helga Moro, world-class psychic. She had some kind of affinity or connection with Mother Mary, and she would say that she could be anywhere, and suddenly she would get a very strong scent of roses. It seemed to be a calling card, no matter whether it was a windy day, whether she was in a still place, no wind, indoors, outdoors, it didn't matter. She would get hit at times by this very pleasant rose smell. Oh, in the time we got left, I also wanted to ask you about the whole concept of infrasonics. I think that's the term that's used. In some accounts, people describe it as a similar in a way to the really obnoxious odors. It may be meant as a deterrent, an area denial system, to use modern military technology. In other words, get out of here, something's going on, there's danger involved, or we just don't want you here, whatever the case may be. Given your friendly relations with Neff and company, have they ever had occasion to utilize the infrasonics with the, or that's just never come up?
No, I've had a couple of experiences throughout my years of doing this. The first time was back in 2008. It would have been October, right at the very end of October, a week after I had my initial close vocal encounter. I had gone back by myself, after my life just got flipped upside down the week earlier. With this vocalization, now I know they exist. Okay, now I want answers. So I went back this time alone, and I had all my gear. My intention was different back then, right? I'm looking for the photo of a lifetime back then, right? Now I don't care. The week before, what immediately preceded the vocalization was what sounded like a really rapid triple chest thump from a gorilla. That's, it was that sound. It was like, oh, something's weird here. And then all of a sudden this vocal, right? So that next week, I'm walking this trail by myself. I got my camera, video camera, binoculars, I got it all. And suddenly I hear that exact same triple chest thump, rapid triple chest thump sound that I heard the week before, exact same as the previous. I knew they were right there beside me, and there was no fear involved. But next thing, I had missing time. I'm driving home, not knowing, not remembering leaving the forest. So they sent me away, and then there was an incident at Dwayne's where we're sitting at the kitchen table, and this is during the day, and Dwayne looks out across the road in the forest and sees this hairy tree that he's never, seen before. He commented, about this thing. And again, I had video camera, camera. I had everything. I didn't use any of it. And we actually forgot about the incident in real time. So it's like they wiped our minds, and it came back to us next visit. We were like, holy shit, what happened there? They basically stopped me from, I think they stopped me from pulling out my video camera, right? It was probably Neff showed himself. We were looking at him, but it's like our minds were wiped.
And this is just me making an inference or, hypothesizing here, but perhaps there was a security issue for them and for you and Dwayne, because Maybe there was energetic things going on, portals being activated, who knows? But were you to capture some of that on video, well, it would be a security leak on their part, but also you could have fallen upon a lot of grief for having such evidence in such a hypothetical scenario, right? That maybe the best thing to do is just to turn you around and do a mind swipe. Now, very quickly, I think you mentioned in the past that there was some element of mind speak and also that they've come to you in your dreams before. Could you get into that really quickly before the end of this first segment? Because I've got something in mind I want to bring up in the second half.
Yeah, they definitely have that. Their understanding of consciousness is so advanced. I just it's unfathomable, unfathomable. It's a hard word for me to say. It's so advanced. I just can't comprehend. It's so there's been several incidents over the years that they've shown up in my dream state. You know, different members of Neff's family brought one of the children to meet me, whose hand I held in that state and felt her emotions as they were my own. You know, absolutely mind-blowing experience. I met the big guy of the family, you know, held on, shook his hand, held on to, I think it was two fingers. And,
Not
you know, Neff's
Neff,
shown up.
not Neff, whoever was an elder to Neff.
Well, Neff has shown up too one time, you know, after an incident at a friend of mine that I lived with for a while. You know, there was something that happened that, you know, I got blamed for, and then Neff showed up in my dream state, basically laughing at me, you know, saying, basically, yeah, it was me, right? You know, given that confirmation. So they definitely have that ability to show up in our dream state and make contact dreams.
Yeah, I just want to bring that up because I'll tie it in with the missing time experiences later that you described, but this has just been fascinating. Could you tell our listeners and viewers where they can find your work online and then a little more about your book and when it's going to be released?
Okay, Sasquatch Ontario on YouTube. You know, that's my channel. I did have a website, but it was just, I was getting bogged down with so much spam email and crap. I just let that go. You know, I still have the address. Maybe I'll start up another one at some point. But if anybody wants to reach out to me personally, sasquatchontario@yahoo.ca for Canada, not .com, .ca, sasquatchontario@yahoo.ca. And as far as, you know, publication, it's been a long time coming. Like I started my writing back way back, I think in 2013. I wrote about 80 pages or 2015, and then I shelved it and I chucked it in the garbage because it was coming from a ne negative place because of things that were going on at the time. So I started writing again, and I shelved that, and it sat for years, you know. So more recently, it's like, okay, I got to get this thing done, right? So I'm almost there. My goal is April. You know, to have this publication out. You know, I'm doing it all myself, right? So it's finally, you know, looking that I'm almost there. So I'm happy about that, and you know, I look forward to getting this book finally published. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And to our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.